The recording has started.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group call on the 21st of July, 2015. On the call today, we have Tony Honorato, Jonathan Zuck, Cheryl Langdon-Orr, and Pam Little. We have apologies from Sarah Bakke and Graham Bunton. From staff, we have Steve Chan, Barry Cobb, and myself, Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Jonathan.
Thanks a lot, Terry. I appreciate it. Welcome, everyone. We're in the final stretch here, and we got some comments in the last couple of days on the document, on the initial report draft. So I think the best thing to do is, and Barry, if I understand correctly from the email, it says integrated both sets of comments into one document. So maybe the best thing to do is walk through this and see the recommended changes people made and discuss them. So Barry, let me hand it over to you.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Barry Cobb for the record. Before we get started into reviewing through the document, a couple of housekeeping items about our schedule. Over on the right, I pasted milestone dates to take us into delivery of this report, which is going to be pretty tight. We have one call scheduled next week on the 28th to hopefully wrap up the initial report and ready it for public comment submission, which would be open on the 29th. We'll do the normal 40 days, which takes us to a close of the 7th of September. And, of course, what I'm hoping to do is, assuming that we do have the report, are able to submit the report to the GNSO Council by the 14th of September, which is when motions and documents are due for things to be considered for the GNSO Council meeting on the 24th, to mitigate any chance of the proposed recommendations not being approved by the council, or put another way, should it be deferred to a future council meeting, I'm suggesting that we might try to review the preliminary recommendations in detail, although the public comment period wouldn't have closed, but review those on the 3rd of September GNSO council meeting. I suspect that probably they won't change a whole lot. What I'm hopeful that we can do is actually have this completed at the GNSO Council meeting on the 24th. If we miss this, then our next opportunity will be the GNSO Council meeting in Dublin. And I suspect things will be very, very busy, very probably even busier than they were in Buenos Aires. So in all hopes, we can try to have this wrapped up before we travel in October. The downside to this, with the public comment period closing on the 8th of September, the 7th of September, that really only gives us one meeting to review through comments and ready the final draft for submission, which is about four business days plus a weekend. So I do recognize that that's pretty tight. I suspect when we do open up a public comment period that we won't get a whole lot of comments, we'll just have to wait and see. And if it turns out that we did get a fair amount and there was too much to complete prior to the 14th of September, then, you know, we do have the fallback of moving this into October. But hopefully we can mitigate that. Pam, please. Pam, you might be on mute. Pam, we still can't hear you.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes, please. Go ahead.
Hi, thanks, Barry. I just have two questions based on what you just said.
One is then the wording on the page we are looking at, shouldn't we say prepare for public comment rather than say prepare for submission to the GNSO Council? That's one question. The other question is timing. I'm just a bit concerned about rushing this out and the timing of it. I'm mindful that I believe the accountability CCWG is going to or plans to post its final proposal, I guess, at the end of this month. And then we have 40 days sort of overlapping with that work or the public comment period with that piece of work. So I think people will be very distracted and focused on that one instead of this one. Maybe that's really not a concern. And so I guess that's just sort of my two concerns or questions. Thanks.
Great. Thank you, Pam. On your first question, basically probably a week after we open up the public comment period, staff will start on the next version of this report. So it'll say final report. We'll adjust all of the language that says that, you know, this is a final report to be prepared or to be submitted to the GNSO Council, et cetera, et cetera. So a lot of cosmetics to this report will change significantly to prepare it for the council submission versus the public comment submission. To your second question, yes, you're very correct. You know, we're really competing for airtime here, and certainly the larger initiatives are consuming most of the availability. I'm not sure what else we can do. Like I said, it's I don't necessarily call it a chicken or the egg kind of thing. Either we compete for airtime during public comment or we compete for airtime during the GNSO Council meeting. And it's really up to the group how they think the best approach should be. We don't necessarily have to decide today. We do have one more meeting next week to try to wrap this up. As another aspect, we could extend the public comment period to 60 days, for example, to give the community more time to respond to this so that they can respond to the larger items first, and then that would probably carry us into November to the November Council meeting to submit this to the GNSO Council. So I guess maybe just think about it, and we can try to make that final decision between now and next week's meeting, although my preference would be to try to continue on the current timeline.
Thanks, Barry.
Okay. The second thing that I wanted to mention before we get into the report, thank you for those that submitted comments back on the report, very helpful. I think a good majority of them were more content/language-oriented. And not so much on the recommendations, so that's a good sign. But a few of the recommendations are requesting that the group or that staff will make edits to the working group guidelines as a annex to the GNSO operating procedures. And to update those, they do require a public comment period. So I was talking with Marika a little bit yesterday, and she suggested that we also include a red line edit of the most recent GNSO operating procedures. So I will be taking action after this call should we not have any more changes to the proposed text that we have as listed as kind of a recommendation detail to update such and such section of the working group guidelines. I'm going to include a red line version for the group to review of the working group guidelines themselves, and that will also be a part of the public comment. The text that's included in the working group, in our initial report here, will be just basically cut and pasted into the appropriate section of the working group guidelines. But that way that they occur together so that if and when the GNSO Council does approve these, then staff can will have the green light to make those changes to the guidelines themselves. Else, if we didn't include it in this particular time frame, then we would have to wait for approval for the GNSO Council, and once they approved it, then we would have to redline at that point and open up another public comment period. So it's not so much about trying to expedite the time frame, but to minimize unnecessary public comment periods when it can all be combined together in one, and so that there's greater context as to what's being changed. So to that point, after our call today, we'll make current revisions to produce version 0.7 for the group to review, and likely probably by Thursday morning, then I'll also include just a redline version edit of those working group guidelines for reference. Okay, with that in mind, I think what we'll do is just briefly go through, we'll go through very quickly the minor changes. Like I said, most of these are just a cleanup of the language that was listed here. None of the recommendations themselves seem to be amended too much. And there's a few where there was some overlap between what Tony had submitted versus Pam submitted. It's going to be a little bit difficult to read on the screen. But like I said, when we produce the next version, we'll make it more clear as to what the final statement will look like within in terms of readability and those kinds of aspects. And so for the meantime, I'm just going to maintain control in the Adobe Connect room as we move through this. So starting on the cover page, nothing substantial here. A couple of suggested changes from Tony and Pam that we'll make. Moving through into the executive summary, this part of the document has been neglected up to this point. The version, the next version that we send out will include some of the suggested edits here, as well as we will import the proposed recommendations into the executive summary as well that we have listed throughout this part. Objectives more or less the same. Background, there were a few minor suggestions here, nothing too substantial. Pam had made a call-out comment to smooth out the language, and I definitely agree. Success against a three-year plan wouldn't make much sense at all. We will, under Section 3.2, the final background issue, we will add a section numbering to make that more intuitive. And if anybody sees anything too glaring, please don't, or please raise your hand and let me know to intervene. The same way as the language was listed here in this bullet item, to just make it clear about the sectioning in the background part of this report. We will update Section 4, which will include the name and affiliation of the working group members. The meeting attendance numbering, there was some, there was a suggestion that this column be removed, I believe, by one of the other working group members. This is a requirement of the typical reports. The problem is actually getting to some of this data. As you know, we are using the CAVI attendance, or I'm sorry, the pilot program of the CAVI tool that we've been taking attendance, as well as there's also the current method that's also being used. So we'll have to do some reconciliation to make sure that those numbers are accurate, and I'm going to have to work with the GNSO Secretariat team to make sure that that's listed appropriately. And, yes, Cheryl, definitely the column has to stay. All right, moving into Section 5, the heart of the matter. Again, a few minor suggested edits in terms of the content. Mostly just cleaning up working groups versus calling out DMPM specifically. Right. This particular observation section, I guess clearly in terms of the prior versions, we should have done a better job of writing it because it definitely got a lot of edits, some of which collided between what Pam had submitted versus what Tony had submitted. I don't think that it's necessary, because these aren't necessarily the recommendations, I don't know that it's necessary to go through these in detail. Again, I believe it was mostly cleaning up the content itself and making it more clear. But we staff will clean this up and include a clean version so that it is readable or has better readability in terms of what is listed here. There was a comment about from Pam to see the GNS overview recommendation number 16, RE policy impact assessment. I believe you were making a point here, Pam, to include this perhaps as a footnote. Then moving down, this was I think the third bullet from the bottom. This was original text that didn't seem to be cohesive, and there were a couple of suggestions to this as well to hopefully clean up that particular language. All right, so moving through for this first section or for the first charter question, there were no recommendations recommended by the working group. So moving into charter question B, Pam had a question about is the charter question meant to deal with ICANN contractual compliance as the reservations below seem to assume? And that is a yes to your question. When this was originally formulated back in early 2013, it was mostly about, because at that time I don't believe that the current interface for submitting complaints was posted up onto ICANN.org. It still existed over on InterNIC, which has then since been migrated. But at that time and prior to that, it was much more difficult for Internet users to submit complaints to ICANN because they were not familiar with the Internet site at all. And even if they were, it wasn't very intuitive in terms of how to submit a complaint and what type of complaints to be submitted. Since that time, as everyone knows, the contractual compliance interface has been migrated under the compliance section of ICANN.org, and there's much better division amongst the different complaint types, as well as initial information to understand the type of issue that is being considered, as well as an individual form specific to each complaint type. When that is being filled out and then eventually submitted to ICANN. So, in short, that is an answer to your that is an answer of yes to your particular question that was attached to the complaint intake system from compliance. Okay, moving on to the next charter question, which I believe was a combination. Charter question C, principles that enhance metrics and data available to better inform the GNSO policy development process. There were a few suggested observations here. Tony did make a comment. So for the last bullet, since we reference the use of principles, don't we need to or want to say here, including X, Y, and Z, even if it doesn't really have a home here, by referencing the fact that principles were used and considered, were inviting the question of what principles. The principles that the working group used earlier in our process are listed further down. I think instead of repeating them, what we'll do is put a pointer to those that they're at least listed at the appropriate section, if that's all right. And I'll highlight that particular change in the next version and see if that still makes sense. If it doesn't, then maybe we can look at repeating them. Tony, please.
Hey, Barry. It's Tony for the record. Just to be clear, I apologize. I wasn't suggesting that we duplicate the citation to the principles. I guess when I went through the document, it wasn't clear to me at that point that we had put them in later. But I'll take a look at the next version. Just to be clear, I'm not suggesting that we put them in twice, but I think your idea is a good one of putting a pointer in because it does leave it dangling otherwise.
Thank you, Tony. And yes, but your comment is appropriate that it's kind of left dangling there without making mention of what those principles might be. So some solution needs to be worked out here, so definitely agree. Right, and as we discussed in our last call, the prior version to this, I believe version 5, did have some preliminary recommendations, but they had been accommodated for either in other recommendations or the other outliers were actually the principles that kind of guided our work within our own working group, and perhaps maybe that some of those should be listed as sub-bullets here per Tony's comment. Okay, moving forward to the next section, which is charter questions D, E, and F. We're pretty familiar with these. Fortunately, there weren't very many comments submitted here, which is a positive sign. Most of the observations seemed intact, and also as well, there were a few that were added. And Tony had a comment here with respect to disclosure. At least some of the data will be incorporated into the resulting reports and thus be disclosed. Therefore, shouldn't we say here, or disclosure consistent with ICANN's public policy making process? I believe that would be an appropriate correction. I think it probably does need to be expanded upon. Where this line of thought is going, because these were some of the principles that we had used as part of our building out our decision tree to cover those cases where certain data obtained from contracted parties may have a certain degree of sensitivity to them and how we would address that. So I think in terms of kind of a use case for our discussion is should that request be submitted to contracted parties, and it would require a third-party aggregator to synthesize that data and remove any direct connection with any one particular company or contracted party. That data itself would never be disclosed per ICANN's public policy-making process. However, the resulting report as a result of that aggregated data would, of course, find its way back through the GNSO Council or into the appropriate working group's report. And so I think that that would probably does make sense to make that a little bit more clear with this particular bullet. Any questions or comments regarding that part? Okay, and then secondarily, I believe these two particular observations were added by Pam, and which is in regard into retail and wholesale pricing for use in consensus policy, which I believe is an actual provision in the registry and registrar agreements, which I believe is considered outside of the picket fence in addition to that. And then there was an additional bullet here about care in regards to personal identification information. I think we can leave this in here, but perhaps it might be prudent to put a footnote that I don't believe it's in ICANN's remit to obtain any of that information, period, let alone about any care to it. I'm not sure, A, that there's any relevance to the policy-making arena, B, but I would suspect that I'm not clear on this. I need to maybe do some homework, but I don't believe that we would even be allowed to get to any of that information. Pam, please.
Thank you, Barry. I would defer this to the group, but these were input from the registry stakeholder group members when we were developing this framework or principles. So I just trying to respect their wishes to have this here, and if folks in this group feel it's inappropriate or it's already covered elsewhere or whatever, then I'm happy to take them out. I just want to make sure the RYHC members' proposed principles are reflected here. Thank you.
Thank you, Pam. Perhaps maybe what we should do, maybe we should preface the principle in stating that it's not, again, I need to do some homework here, but I just don't see how we would ever use PII in any of our policy making, and that should probably be stated up front, and then in the unlikely event that it is used, that may even be too granular there. I agree that if it were to ever be used, certainly that care should be used in handling it. I'm hopeful that the policy arena would never need it. Pam.
Thanks, Barry. I'm not sure. It's just the raw data. We're not talking about, you know, the aggregated data. We're talking about if registry or registrar provides data, and that data contains personal information or personally identifiable identification information, then that should be protected, should be more careful in handling such data. And I have seen data that contains such information, even within ICANN compliance. You would have reporters' personal email address or personal information, and compliance would just forward that complaint to registry or registrar, then it become a chain of email that has personal information. So I just want to make sure we don't have that kind of raw data that contains personal information that as a result of this data request from a contract party gets disclosed somehow.
Thank you, Pam. Yeah, and, you know, and that does make sense. I guess if there was some sort of request from the community where that third-party aggregator could be used, perhaps there could be a possibility that some of that information might be transferred there, and then the care should be taken. So I think you're right. Thank you for that.
No problem.
All right. Moving right along into the preliminary recommendations. So this first one is in regards to the pilot effort, and Pam had a comment here. Are we envisioning, envisioning a working group or stakeholder group or constituencies see recommendation details that follow. I think what was meant here is, you know, first and foremost, the scope of the pilot program is only the GNSO stakeholder groups and constituencies. Certainly, we wouldn't want this to be expanded so that other SOs and ACs would particularly request one of these types of reports, at least for the pilot effort. And I'm not trying to exclude ALAC, Cheryl, but I think we need to maintain some control here. And then, of course, then breaking out that it's either at the stakeholder group and or constituency level. Pam.
Okay. Barry, I think my question here is, are we inviting, say, a working group or drafting team to submit proposal, or are we inviting, say, registry stakeholder group or intellectual property constituency? It's just not very clear to me because they are obviously different bodies. So that was my question.
All right. Yeah. Thank you, Pam. That makes more sense. It's both. So the idea of the pilot is to attack the two earlier phases of the policy process. The first is at the issue identification stage before a issue is passed on to staff to write an issue report. So a very loose use case could be that the IPC has come across a particular issue. They could submit a formal request of obtaining funds to acquire data to further define that issue before taking it to the GNSO Council of producing and having staff producing an issue report on the road to the working group. So that's kind of one area, way in the early aspect of it. So any stakeholder group or constituency could do that. The secondary use case is that an established working group has come across in some of their deliberations where they need additional data, and then that working group would also make a submission request to the GNSO Council. And so you're right, I think we probably need to amend this language in here to make that a little bit more clear.
Right. Thanks, Barry.
Okay, moving on. This is the implementation, the recommendation details. And Tony had submitted a comment here. Shouldn't this be how assessing whether data and metrics collection can assist? Seems to be the job we are undertaking. Shouldn't this be asking how the data and metrics can assist in a particular situation? And, Tony, I believe here all you're really suggesting is just the changing of that particular word, if I'm understanding that correctly, from whether to how.
Yes, that's all.
All right, great. All right, thank you. Moving along, so also a part of staff promise on the next section, I'll remove, Sangatitu, please go ahead. You might be on mute. Okay. It's being asked in the chat to provide a little bit of clarity on the pilot. We did discuss this in the last call, but coming out of Buenos Aires during our face-to-face, there was discussion about at the particular time that first and foremost, I think the group has determined that we need some sort of pilot program to see whether this is really going to work or not. And a big part of that is securing funds because there's a decent probability that much of the data that needs to be collected is external to ICANN and has some sort of financial resource requirements behind it, whether it be some third-party type data that is not affiliated with ICANN or a contracted party, or the opposite side, as if a particular request was submitted to contracted parties, that likely there would be, it would potentially be somewhat sensitive data and that a third-party aggregator would be needed to synthesize that data in a way that it's not affiliated with any one particular contracted party in and of itself. So an example would be we were obtaining data on transfers and on successful transfers versus failed transfers. And as a very loose example, GoDaddy submitted their data, and given their large amount of registrations, it could be easily construed that that the size of the number would be GoDaddy. So instead, that particular number would be aggregated in a way amongst all of the several registrars so that it was maybe a more summarized level of success versus failed transfers, so that in the use of that data, we couldn't pick out that this portion was as a result of GoDaddy versus this portion was a part of name.com. The point is that there would be financial resources required for that third party to aggregate that data. So in that context, there's a recognition that there's a bucket of funds that could be required. And given the given that this is an initial recommendation that really hasn't been accomplished prior to this, other than very large requests, such as like the WHOIS studies that was greater than $250,000, the suggestion here is to create a pilot program that has a limited scope around it, that does have access to financial resources to complete these particular requests. This particular pilot would be then evaluated from a perspective to understand how it worked, why it worked, what the demand was, what the cost aspects were, and should it be shown that the particular pilot did prove successful, then if you read through the details, then we'll look at the communities actually submitting a formal budget request through the community budget cycle in either fiscal year 17 or 18 upon the evaluation of that pilot program. So that's kind of the distinction. It would probably be more difficult had we not suggested a pilot and just requested X dollars of some bucket of money without some kind of context or experience in how this is done. It likely would probably not be approved. So the idea of the pilot program is to help try to provide some scope and context about what these requests may look like, what the demand might be look like, and then that will better shape a more formal request through the GNSO down the road. Does that help? All right, great. Yes, and Jonathan makes a very good point as well. We just have entered into fiscal year 16 from a budgeting perspective. So to just make a flat-out recommendation that we submit a recommendation going straight through the community budget process wouldn't occur until way later this year, early next year, when that whole process kicks off. But those funds wouldn't even be available until the start of fiscal year 17. So as Jonathan points out, this is to bridge that particular gap until then. That once the council really approves this and staff implements it, that we can hit the road running if should these requests start to appear. Okay, so as I mentioned, these preliminary level of consensus for this recommendation, for the time being, each one will have will list consensus, not full consensus, but they're noting that there hasn't been a formal consensus call, so we'll make sure that each one of these is updated for the suggested recommendations. And then secondarily, we'll update the expected impact of the proposed recommendation now that it seems like we have these particular recommendations nailed down. I think probably this particular recommendation in regards to the pilot program will probably have the most extensive impact statement, while the other ones are pretty cut and dry because they're really mostly either creations of templates or updates to the working group guidelines. So the stack, the impact there would be pretty minimal. Okay, moving right along to charter question G and H. And this was about the framework for distributing information and how do we incorporate the process described into the policy development process. A couple of minor edits to the observations, nothing substantial here. And moving along into the preliminary recommendations, which is also pretty much untouched. And just to reinforce the recommendation details, this will be, again, imported into the actual working group guidelines as a red line so that they can be shared in context. We'll still maintain the recommendation details within the working group's report. I will add footnotes to these to also draw the reader's attention to actually refer to the actual red line document so that there's continuity there. Okay, moving right along. Recommendation three is the work product templates. There were no changes here. Again, issue report, charter, and final report. Just to give you kind of a heads up, this is something that's kind of already being worked on or at least initiated by staff to update work product templates and certainly update the suggested part of the working group guidelines here. But again, this recommendation is really more to keep staff honest than anything else. But predominantly, it was also to tee up the one recommendation about kind of the continuous improvement that we've talked about after consensus policies have been approved and later recommended to see that they made the intent, the policy intent. All right, next page. This was the charter template update, which is in Annex A down in the document. The final report template, again, that will be the same extraction from the charter template that will show up in the final report template. And then recommendation six is also an update to the working group guidelines to introduce the metrics request decision tree and the metrics request form that are also found in the subsequent annexes of the report. Which is also recommendation seven, and that pretty much takes us through all of the recommendations. There was a conclusion in next steps section, and Tony had a couple of suggestions here, which I believe do warrant a change here. This was this text that was originally placed here, I think, was prior to us finalizing some of the recommendations, so I don't think that there's any issue with removing and or editing what is listed here. Again, the little particular graphic here just highlighting the areas that our recommendations are, the areas of the policy process that the group's recommendations are affecting. And then we've just moved through into the annexes themselves, which I don't think requires us to go through. There were really just small little typo type changes that were suggested by those that submitted changes in. And especially I do think, Tony, please go ahead.
Hi, Barry, it's Tony. I did add a couple of substantive things here. That point two under key metric considerations was an addition. I don't know if you hadn't gotten to it yet, but your preface suggested that it was mainly non-substantive language addition, and I did add that, and then on the next page or so, there's another addition.
Yes,
in the event that it didn't catch your eye, because it was also in red line. Here
yes,
it shows in gray, which is helpful.
Yes, thank you. So the completed version will have the text highlighted in red so that the community can distinguish that from the black text. But your suggestions, I think, were helpful here. I suspect, if anything, that if when the community reads through this, this will probably be one of the areas that we might get either confusion or hopefully some more substantial comments about how this should look. Certainly those that have had quite a bit of experience in producing charters for working groups at the drafting team stage will hopefully provide some better input in how this little framework can be improved here. So thank you for the suggestions, and I think what you suggested here made sense. Okay, so that takes us through the charter. Then, of course, the next section is the decision tree. Again, hopefully this isn't too confusing for the community to review through, but there were no suggested edits there. And then lastly is the metrics request form, which were just a couple of minor changes. And Pam also highlighted on the metrics request form a perfectly correct comment here to not limit it to just the intake system, but the ICANN contractual compliance team, as they might have other systems of data. All right, so that takes us through this version of the report. Like I said, in the next day, we'll have the next version out for the group to review. Probably a day after that, I'll have a redline version of the actual GNSO operating procedures, which shouldn't be a shocker, but I want to make sure it's in front of the working group before we submit it along with the public comment forum. And then by the end of the week, we'll have a draft of the public comment request that staff submits to the web admin team to post up onto ICANN.org, the public announcement. So we'll review through these one last time on the 28th. Hopefully everybody will agree with what we have here so that we can launch this on the 29th. And Jonathan, in the meantime, or in the near term, especially after we launch the public comment, we should probably start thinking about how we want to position this for an interim update to the GNSO Council, as I described earlier, so that we can try to preempt any kind of notion to defer this as just to get it off the council's table. Right. Any other closing comments or suggestions by the group before we terminate the call? Pam, please. You might be on mute again. Still silent, Pam.
Sorry, Barry. My phone is playing up. I think there was something wrong. Can you hear me?
Yes, now we can.
Okay, so my question was in my email when I attached the suggested edit, which is we have a couple of, or quite a few recommendations, which reads like the working group directs staff to do certain things. So my question was, can a working group such as this one actually direct staff to do certain things, or can the or should the direction actually have to come from the GNSO or the ICANN board? I'm just not very clear about that. I think at the beginning you said, Marika, that we can do this if it's subject to public comment. Is that the answer?
Thank you, Pam. I had that on the top of my head to mention it, and then thank you for reminding me. For the initial report, it's going to be the working group, but when we prepare the final report, we'll change that section to the GNSO Council direct staff. So that's the interim change.
Thanks. Okay.
Or as Jonathan has listed in the chat, that works as well. And so, matter of fact, I'll go ahead and make that particular change for this next version.
Great. Thanks.
Thank you for bringing it up.
No problem.
Okay, anything else? Jonathan, any closing comments?
No, I think this is looking good. I'm excited about it, and I think it's really relevant to the accountability discussion because it's make us a little more accountable to the facts. So I'm excited about the work we're doing. So thanks for all the excellent work you guys on staff, because you guys have been really carrying the lion's share of this, and we really appreciate it.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll see each other through emails and on the phone 1 hour earlier next week. All right, take
okay.
care, and I'll talk to you then.
Bye. Bye, everyone.
Thanks, Barry. Bye, all.
Lance, if you can please stop the recording.